It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. It's easy to get started. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Now batting number one in our hearts. At least he'd like to think so. It's the Jim Day Podcast.
All right, everyone, welcome into the Jim Day Podcast once again. And Reds Country, I'm assuming after that homestand, you are feeling pretty good. And there was a lot of good things that happened on it. And one of them came from my guest today. What a rookie impression he made and what a start to his major league career. Please welcome in Jonathan India. Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm good, Jim. Glad to be here. I'm glad to get on this podcast. I heard a lot about it, and I've listened to you a couple of times, so I'm pretty excited.
Really? Wow. Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, it's always good when other players are telling you, hey, you got to get on the podcast, so we must be doing something right. So I appreciate exactly. The kind words, but not as much of a splash as you made. Asked you this on the air the other day, but I'll ask you it in this format. Hard to imagine getting off to a better start than you did in your major league career. I mean, it's not an easy game, and it's certainly not easy to be a rookie and make a debut on opening day, which is so special in Cincinnati. Could you have ever imagined that it would go this well?
I mean, it's hard to say. I've imagined, you know, they're going this well, but, you know, I'm a confident man. And, you know, in the game I play, and, you know, I imagine me doing well. I didn't think it was going to go like how I'm doing. I wish I had a couple homers in the homestand for the fans, but those are coming. But no, I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm always blessed to be in this position, and I'm just grateful for that.
Don't worry about the homers. They will come. Certainly when you play 81 games at Great American Ballpark, as long as you keep squaring it up, they are going to come. And you've got some other guys in that lineup. They're not going to rely on you to hit home runs.
So that's what I'm saying. I'll just get on for them for now, you know, and then let them hit the homers.
Oh yeah, don't worry about the homers, man. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Exactly. Let me take you back a few years. You got off to a slow start in your pro career, and I know you had some injuries that you dealt with. You had a tough fall league, I want to say. Were there ever times you were like, oh man, I hope this happens for me? Were there ever any doubts?
No. See, I've never doubted myself in anything. I've never felt negative of stuff like that, just because, you know, learning at a young age that those games is very hard, you know, and the fear of failure is, you know, it's going to ruin you as a player. So I always, you know, my dad always told me to always have positive thoughts, and good things will happen in the future for you. So just work hard, put your head down, and don't worry about anything else. So, you know, I've always just worked hard and not worried about, you know, the failure part of the game.
Take me back to when they told you that you made the team. And I'm sure at that point you knew, listen, they're not going to put me on the team to put me on the bench. You knew you were going to be the starting second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds as a rookie. And that call to your family, what was it like?
Yeah, it was something special for me, especially, you know, walking into to David's office in spring training. It was emotional, you know. It was, I'm not really a crier, but I cried in the office with David, and it was a good feeling for him just saying, you know, you made our team, and, you know, you're going to be our starting second baseman. And it was just like words that I've always dreamed of, you know, coming from a coach. And so then I called my parents right before the spring training game, and it was amazing. You know, they were emotional. But it was just, you know, it's stuff that every kid dreams of, like I said. So it was a beautiful thing for us, and, you know, I'm going to make the most of it.
Wow, when mom or dad can get a happy cry in, and you caused it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's anything better than that.
No, it's emotional for sure. A very emotional time, but it's a good emotional time, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And by the way, I found out as I age, and you'll find this out as you go through life, that one of the marks of a true man is a man not afraid to show emotion or cry. So crying is okay. That movie, you know, it's not true. There is crying in baseball. When you get told that your lifelong dream is being fulfilled and you're going to the show, hey, man, let it flow.
God. Let it out. You know?
I mean, you've worked your whole life for this.
Of course, it's powerful. Showing emotion is powerful.
Yeah.
For the body. So I agree with you.
Last year was a weird year for everyone. We had the alternate site. Fans that don't know, it was here in Cincinnati where the, you can call it a taxi squad or whatever, just a group of players that worked out at the alternate site, not knowing what would happen with COVID and how many players you're going to need. And teams use it as well as for developing players, young mm-hmm. prospects like they did for you. And right. suddenly the light went off. I mean, I say that the light went off, not that, you know, it's not like you came out of nowhere. You're a fifth overall pick. But it's a testament to hard work because I heard nothing at all except, man, he is working his tail off at Prasco Park and really seeing the results. Is that when it started happening for you last year?
Yep. So, to be honest with you, Prasco Park is probably what turned my, you know, whole career around. You know, it saved me from, from a lot of things. So it gave me the opportunity to really, really like focus on myself and grind, you know, work on stuff in my game that I needed to work on that you really can't do in a normal season. So I took advantage of it, you know, and, you know, they say like make the most of opportunities. I took the most out of that opportunity. You know, some guys, you know, it's a tough position for some of us because, you know, we want to be in the league, you know, I want to be up with the big leagues, but you know, we're in a weird spot. But for me, I just put my head down and, you know, and grinded. And then it saved me, you know. It's a lot of mental toughness and a lot of things went into it for me that I learned as a player and a man. So I will always remember Prasco for, you know, for my career.
Yeah. When you say listen, I'm a reporter by nature, so I'm nosy by nature. If you don't want to answer this, it's fine. But what
I got you.
When the things you learned as a man or mentally as a person, what are you referring to?
So like just the atmosphere at Prasco, you know, there was a group of guys that, you know, it was tough for us to be in that position. We wanted, you know, we were the guys that were in between. You know, are we getting called up here or are we getting called up here? So no one knew what their role was. So, you know, as a baseball player, that's tough mentally. You know, we go through struggles like that. Like, what the organization think of us? Why, you know, is this a good spot to be in for us? Or is it just something that they're just putting us here just to get work? I mean, we don't know. So mentally, a lot of us, you know, we're going through the roller coaster at, you know, Prasco, you know, playing against each other every day. You know, it gets boring, but it's tough. You know, you got to make the most of it. So for me, I learned not to let anything, you know, negative affect me mentally, you know, not to just treat it as another day at Prasco. What am I doing here? You know, I'm going to make the most of it and work on my game, you know, prepare myself for next year. Because, you know, that was my mental state at that point, just going through the daily grind and, you know, really, really making the most out of it.
Well, mentally is half the battle, if not more. So you have the right perspective. And, man, Prasco worked out for another guy like Tyler Stevenson as well. He was a guest last week.
Same thing with me.
Yeah.
He grinded just like me. So it shows that place really helped us.
When you first signed out of Florida, he's a Gator, folks.
Go Gators.
what did you find that was the toughest, the transition to pro ball? What were the things? Because, again, I know you were dealing with some nagging injuries, which can right. always affect someone, particularly right. an offensive player. I think you had a wrist or something was going on.
Yeah.
But what were the toughest things that you had to really adjust to and get better at?
To be honest, I think it was the lifestyle of, you know, going from a great program in college, you know, to winning a national championship there, and then going to rookie ball in Greenville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then, you know, staying in a motel. And it was a tough experience for me, you know, going from from something that was, you know, very high at the top to like rookie ball, which was not the nicest settings for us. But,
right.
You know, it was a minor league grind, like everyone talks about. It's, you know, peanut butter and jellies after games, you know, not much food. Trying to survive, you know. it's the bus trips and everything. So that was probably the hardest thing for me. But, you know, the game, other than that, baseball was the same for me. That the game itself was just playing, like, you know, playing the same game.
Yeah. What was opening day like?
You talking about in the big leagues?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean that. It was freezing. To be honest, it was the coldest.
That's one thing I've played in. I almost asked you that first. I almost said, "Wow, you're a South Florida guy, and you went to college in Florida. You had to be freezing your butt off."
I think people could definitely tell I was freezing out there. So it was a cold one.
Well, that's an adjustment you have to make as well to play in the North. I mean, you're a Florida guy. I live down there, so my blood got thin very quickly, and I came back,
right?
And it was culture shock, even though I grew up here.
Yeah, it was, but it was a great feeling, though, to be out there, and, you know, enjoy the atmosphere, really take it all in. You know, I didn't really have nerves, to be honest with you. I wasn't nervous, and I was waiting for them. I was waiting for them to come, you know, like waiting for all the nerves to kick in, and really, you know. Feel it, but nothing came, and I was just felt like another game for me out there with the guys.
Well, you know what, we talked about that on the air.
Yeah,
that I've covered so many, you know, debuts and so many players, and the ones that don't have the nerves seem to be the ones that last or the ones that are really elite players. So when I heard you say that, I'm like, uh-oh, this kid has a presence about him. So that's good, man, that the nerves never kicked in.
They never came. So that was a good feeling for me to be comfortable out there and, you know, let my ability take over.
Now, at least early on, could you notice, I mean, there's limited fans in the stands, but at least fans, because 2020 was very strange. Brasco was weird for you, but it was really weird for the guys that were playing in the league with no fans.
Yeah.
But did you notice that you were instantly a fan favorite? There were a little extra cheers for you.
I did hear some cheers, you know. It was pretty cool to hear the fans of Cincy. You know, they're great fans, first of all. So, you know, it's a great baseball city. And, you know, I mean, the fans of Cincy have treated me well so far, so I'm very happy with the way it's going.
Well, I've said this to a lot of people, but now the expectations are there. And hopefully those nerves don't kick in, because now they're going to expect you to be this good.
I know. Hey, that makes it better, though. That makes it fun for me to live up to the name. So it'll give me more of a drive to continue my success.
Now, speaking of the name, by the way, you have a cool name. I mean, just on its own, Jonathan India. I mean,
yeah, thank you.
They were asking on the air, they were talking about your walk-up song, which was from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
Kind of with the hair, kind of looked like Jack Sparrow. So they were asking for nicknames. And then in the back of the booth, I just spit out Red Sparrow. I didn't even think about
Red
it. It's
Sparrow.
And I'm like, I don't know if I like that. But then then they said it on the air. And then all of a sudden, people on social media are picking up. And then all of a sudden, there's T-shirts about it. And I'm like, all I did was just say a name.
Just
I didn't,
say one, yeah.
Yeah, right? I didn't mean for it to be like this. I promise. And let's ask Jonathan first. He's got to approve of his
name. Of course. Yeah, so for me, I mean, if that's what the fans like, I mean, Red Sparrow is fine with me. You know, I'm a very easygoing guy. You know, I'm not going to pick my nickname. You know, I'm not going to say, no, call me this. But, you know, Red Sparrow is pretty cool. Yeah, I definitely like the Jack Sparrow you know, look-alike, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, but there's some negative things that go with Red Sparrow, unfortunately.
I know. That's a bit, yeah.
There are, but, you know, that's. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a guy that hasn't even seen the movies. And naming someone Red Sparrow when I've never seen the movies.
Those movies are unbelievable. That's my favorite. Those are my favorite movies.
I know. My wife loves those movies.
Those are the classics right there.
Yeah. So is that why you had the walk-up music?
Yeah, because Pirates of the Caribbean.
Had people said you look like Jack Sparrow when you started growing your hair out?
So the team in spring training was telling me about, dude, you should put your walk-up as Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm like, oh, my God. That'd be actually so funny.
Yes.
And that's one of my favorite movies. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it.
Oh, wow.
And I like the intro to it. So I like the song itself.
It is a cool song. There's no doubt about that. And it's a good walk-up song. But now you're going to have to keep the long hair. I mean,
trust me, that's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere? The flow is not going anywhere?
It's not going anywhere. That's my hair. I've done it my whole life. I've had long hair. You know, I'll cut it for a year and grow it out for the next years.
Yeah, because when you first signed, you had short hair, right? Shorter?
Yeah. It was because of Florida, University of Florida. We had short hair. We had a clean cut, you know, no facial hair.
Wow. Well, you know, back in the day, the Reds didn't have any facial hair.
I mean,
you couldn't have any. So that would have been tough for you. All right. So that answers one of the questions. The flow is going to stay. Now, have you ever thought about that you might need a chin strap on your helmet?
Oh, my God. I've been saying that since the first day of spring training. My helmet.
Are you serious?
Oh, I mean, the amount of times my helmet fell off in spring training is unbelievable.
Yeah,
they've already tried to fix my helmet 4 or 5 times. They put padding inside.
Really?
They've done the whole thing. I'm like, guys, this doesn't work. You know, it's gonna fall off. I guess it's the way I run or something.
Well,
my head moves.
I noticed you had triple, right? No, homestand. I'm trying to think back.
So
you were trying to put that helmet back on like 2 or 3 times. So it's not affecting your running speed, though, is it?
No. I think I'm getting in a bad habit of touching my helmet when I run now. So I think I'm just going to, you know, run and let it fall every time now.
Just let it. You know what? You might as well just let it fall off and just hope that there's not an errant throw that hits you there.
If
you're going to have the flow, you're going to just let it all blow in the wind, man. I mean,
exactly. Let it flow.
That's part of what we hope is going to be a legend. So. Pete Rose had trouble keeping his helmet on. His helmet would come off all the time. He had all the time. So
awesome.
No worries there. I don't know about you, but I like this Jonathan India dude right off the bat. And we'll have more with Jonathan right after this.
You've experienced one of life's miracles, adding a baby to your family. Now you may need life insurance to help make sure everyone's protected, especially that bundle of joy. And if you already have kids, now's a great time to make sure you have enough coverage. At Western and Southern Life, we translate what's complicated and help make life insurance simple. Talk to one of our financial translators. It's easy. Visit us at westernsouthern.com/life.
Compensated endorser, Western and Southern Life Insurance Company, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Who do you hang with on the team? I know it's been very early, but you came off of spring training. Who maybe do you hang with or do you look up to on the team?
I mean, all the guys, you know, are very awesome on the team. So most of them, to be honest with you. So, I mean, there's, you know, Moose helps me out a lot for sure. I'm always with him. Sonny Gray, he's right here, actually.
Hold on, Sonny Gray's right there?
Yeah, Sonny and Wade. Wade's right here, too.
Oh, my goodness. So are they making fun of you answering these questions?
What did you say?
They making fun of you answering these questions?
Oh, no, that's Jim.
Jim, we out here walking around barefoot with our shirts off, bro.
Who's that, Sonny?
Yeah, it was Sonny.
You're walking around barefoot with your shirts off.
Enjoying the Arizona sun.
Yeah. Nice to go.
We think Wade said his fan has got his shirt on. We're thinking about climbing this tree back here.
Please don't climb the tree. Please don't climb the tree. We need you back, Sonny.
He's dead. Yes.
You know what? That's one of the essence of this podcast, that we try to make it as real as possible, and you're
exactly
hanging with Sonny and Wade, and it's all good.
But you know, all the guys are awesome. So
wow,
they've been very welcoming of me, and you know, I just, you know, love being on this team. So.
Yeah,
it's been very fun.
When I ask the young players who they look up to or maybe get advice from, it is universal. It's always Moose and Sonny. 1-2.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's all of them. I mean, Castellanos definitely helps me a lot. And I've known Casty, you know, for a while. We hit together in the offseason stuff. So,
when you hit with him in the offseason, is he intimidating then?
Nah, he's an awesome dude. Everyone thinks he's an intimidating guy. I mean, that's how he appears to be on the field.
Well, that's great. We love that. Keep that.
That's his energy, you know. That's what I need. That's how I am on the field. That energy, you know, I feed off that.
Yeah.
But off the field, he's a great person, you know. helpful, you know, always there to talk to you and be there for people. So it's amazing.
And man, can he hit? There's a lot to learn off that guy.
Can he? Trust me, I've known he can hit for a while. So this ain't no surprise to me.
Yeah, that's you know, that's terrific. I get the same answers, or people on the outside think, wow, he's probably a hard guy to be around. He looks so intense on the field, but
when you're playing against him, sure, you don't want to play against him.
Yeah,
but when you're with him, he's the best.
Now, when you guys are hanging, what are you, a video game guy? Are you what do you do in your spare time?
Yeah, I mean, I play video games for sure. Like I play Warzone, like Call of Duty Warzone game. But you know, here and there I'll play it. I like the golf. We actually golfed on our off day yesterday. But I definitely just like to enjoy like outside and the nature part of like, you know, just being outside. Honestly, that's what I do in my spare time, and just walk around and, you know, just relax.
So what's the musical taste? We try to get to know people on this podcast too. Not all
musical
baseball.
Taste. I'm an open book. I mean, musically, I'll listen a lot. You know, I have different vibes like here and there. I'll go. Some days I like hip hop. Some days I'm into like house music, like deep house. And you never heard of like EDM music?
Electronic, yeah.
Yeah, just like feeling good music, basically. And some days I listen to country. Like I listen to all genres, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm that way as well. They say it's not different genres to me. It's either good music or bad music. And you're the only one that can answer that. Ears are the only one listening to it. So what might sound good to you might not be good music to someone else.
Of course. Yeah.
But of course I know that the house music or that type of music, because when we go to South Florida to play the Marlins, the hotel.
That's my city.
Yes. The hotel we stay at, literally 24/7, in every room you go in is.
That's
everywhere you go. So after like three or four days of that, you're like, all right, play me some classical music or something. I've heard for 4 days.
That is it.
But that is the essence of South Florida.
No doubt. That's my hometown.
Yeah. So are you you have a better half? As far as
what are you talking about? A girl? I have a girlfriend, yes.
There you go.
Is that me? Yeah, I do have a girlfriend. I do.
I wasn't sure if it was girlfriend status or fiance status or even more. So I was walking gingerly there.
No. We're dating right now. We're dating for about almost a year and a half.
Oh, very nice. She from South Florida as well?
She is. So the funny thing is, I've known her since I've been in kindergarten. We've had the same first and second grade class together. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then, you know, we never really talked. We always knew each other through high school, but she went to a different school than me. So like we never really were like, you know, we didn't hang out much. But then we got to college and she was in Gainesville when I was there. So it was pretty cool. We hung out all the time, became really close. And then once I got out of Florida, you know, I think a year out, we saw each other somewhere and then we started talking again and there we go. We started dating. Wow. So it was a pretty cool story how I've known her for, you know, basically my whole life.
That is wild.
And yeah. It was pretty crazy. And we live a minute away from each other. We never knew it.
You lived a minute away from each other?
A minute. 1 minute. Yep. Like walking distance. And we never knew it.
Wow. What was that conversation like when you said, well, where'd you grow up? And then when you found out?
Yeah, it was funny. We were just like, oh my God, we live a second away from each other. And then we start diving deeper. We're like, wait, we went to the same elementary school and we're in the same class and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story.
Well, I feel like I can ask you this question because you were at Prasco last year. What's the transition like from, I mean, South Florida is a different world than Cincinnati, Ohio.
So. Oh my God, you're telling me it's very
it's drastic.
It's you could say South Florida is more like, it's just a lot more is going on, you know.
It's slightly more eclectic, a lot more going on.
Oh yeah, it's very
People care about their appearance a little more, and I say this because I live in Cincinnati.
People definitely love the way they look down there, you know. They definitely care how they dress and what kind of hairstyles going on, and you know, the whole nine. But I love South Florida. You know, I think I'll never move, to be honest with you. I always have a house there.
Yeah,
just because of the beach and the water, and I grew up there, and that's how I always lived. So,
a lot of distractions as a man in his 20s. So, it's is it kind of, can it be a good thing to play in Cincinnati, Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati, yeah, like you said, it's a quiet city. It's very small, but it's a great city to be in. You know,
yeah,
it's very calm and. It's, yeah, like you say, it's a good city to play in. It's not like a Miami or, you know, some New York like that.
Right. This transition to second base is not an easy one because you played on the left side most of your career. I mean, but you played some shortstop, third base.
Yeah.
It's not an easy transition. How tough has it been?
Because
it hasn't shown. You've been playing great.
Right. Yeah, I feel great there. I mean, I feel like I played there my whole life. But for me, the toughest thing was probably turning the double plays from my left side, like going to my left and spinning that way, making a throw. Because I was always used to, you know, looking my left and throwing to my left from third and short. But this way, you go to your left, you got to look right and spin right. So that was the only thing that was – it wasn't tough. It was just some time to get used to. But I think I got it down pat now and – I feel very comfortable there. You know, the angles to the baseballs I'm getting better at. And that's basically it, though. So I'm getting used to second, and I'm loving it so far.
Well, we knew you could hit, at least in college, and, you know, that's right. why you were drafted. Are you most proud of the work you've put in defensively to get to this point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I take pride in defense, and that was instilled in me at Florida. You know, University of Florida, if I'm not mistaken, I think we were probably top three every year in defense when I was there. We were top three in the defensive category. We had a coach there. I made us take 200 ground balls a day if you were an infielder, just to really, you know.
200?
More some days.
Wow.
Yeah, it would kill us, but, you know, that I think that helped me.
Oh, absolutely. I think it
helped me a lot.
What, did you guys shift a lot in college? Or you
no,
just,
we didn't
you,
do.
That's
didn't
a big shift. Learning curve as well, is it?
Yeah, you know? The shift definitely. It's kind of crazy playing a position that you never played in, but I'm getting used to that too.
Well, that and having to go out into short right field.
I know. That freaks me out a little bit, but it's fine, you know.
Yeah, you got to get used to that lip of the grass, man. That can get you.
And it gets skipped fast on the grass sometimes. So
yeah,
that's the only scary thing.
Do you have any goals as a player? Do you set personal goals?
Of course. Yeah, of course. I think I've told someone this already, but I want to be the NL Rookie of the Year. You know, I'm going to make that a point to be this year. You know, I'm striving for that. Basically, you know, after that, I want to win a World Series with this team. You know, I think we could do it, but this team is so good, you know, defensively and offensively. It's just scary how good. And pitching. The pitching is unbelievable. And we haven't had all our guys yet. So once we get all our guys back, it's going to be scary. And I could just feel the energy in the clubhouse that this is going to be a scary team down the stretch.
Well, you can sense something special. And again, six games does not a season make. But and we're recording this on Friday before you're about to play the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I don't believe in jinxes, but I'm going to knock on wood here for
of course,
you. Just so, you know, people will listen to this. And if you have a bad series against Arizona, you shouldn't have asked him about that. Because people like the announcer jinx, they just lose their mind and go crazy. But no, man, I love guys that will put it out there and say, listen, I want to be the best, and National League Rookie of the Year would mean you're the best.
I'm shooting for that, and I'm, you know, I believe in it. You know, that's the thing. Some guys say they want to do it, but I actually believe in it.
Well,
I actually could see myself being the NL Rookie of the Year at the end of the year. So I'm going to make it happen, and I'm going to do my best to, you know, provide, you know, to keep providing for this team. And, you know, we're going to go a long way with this team.
Well, you are off to a tremendous start. Do you keep up with some of the records that you set on this first homestand as a rookie?
I did not know. I try to stay off social media as much as I can.
Well,
but
that's...
What was, I heard some of the things were pretty cool. Something about RBIs.
There's a lot of them. I mean, we just kept putting them up. You just kept, you, we'd put one up and then you'd eclipse it, make another one. And you're in there. There's some big names of stuff that you've accomplished. So again, very, it's cool. One series, understand, but it was fun to watch, man, especially this team has gotten off the slow starts the past few years.
Yeah.
So it re-energizes the fan base and you've become a fan base. I know you got to get on the bus to, get to the field. So we're going to have to cut this one a little shorter than usual, but I had to take the window of getting you on because the fans love you already and it's timely. And I hope you'll come back and discuss some more,
of course,
so that fans can get to know you and really appreciate it, man. You seem like a solid young man. And by the way, if people want to call you Red Sparrow, that's fine. But your name itself, Jonathan India, is very, thank very you, cool. And we might just go with Indy.
Indy, like, I'm fine with either. That's good with me.
And if you continue to hit 500, you'll be Indy 500.
I'll say that's cool too.
But I can't imagine that you would hit 500. That would be incredible.
Right? That'd be cool.
Yeah. All right, man. I will talk to you on down the road. And again, thank you for your time. Reds fans really appreciate it.
No problem, no problem, Jim. Thank you for having me on.
Well, how about that for a little taste of getting to know Jonathan India? If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that we usually go a little longer with podcasts in this form, if we can, if the interviewee has time. And in this case, I had about a half an hour window, and it was like, okay, do I want to take it or do I want to wait? Well, I took it because the story is hot, the kid is hot, and man, if he just continues on this path. Now, is he going to be able to keep up the pace that he had on the first homestand? Of course not. That's not going to happen. But if he can continue to get better, man, the sky's the limit for this guy. You could hear the confidence. I love the fact that he wants to be National League Rookie of the Year and just puts it out there. Some guys will have goals and they don't want to share it because if they don't eclipse it, then it looks like they failed, which in this case, it wouldn't be failure because if he keeps along, he's at least going to be in the sentence of National League Rookie of the Year, if not win the doggone award. And more importantly, wants to win a World Series. Now, who doesn't? Everyone's going to say that. But you look at this nucleus, the young nucleus that the Reds have now with India and Senzel and Winker and Tyler Stevenson behind the plate, Hunter Green waiting in the wings, Lodolo. And you've got TJ Antone, you know, and other players that are in their prime like Sonny Gray, et cetera. Pretty good nucleus. And most of those guys that I just mentioned came up through the Red system. It's been a long time since we've been able to say that particularly position players, drafting, developing position players. So we're starting to see the fruits of that, which is fantastic. So going to be fun along the way. And again, we'll just go with Indy. How about that? Jonathan India. What a great name. The locks are going to stay. They're going to be a flowing. And hopefully if they're flowing, that means he's running around the bases a lot. And we're for that. Check me out on social media if you'd like, at Jim Day TV on Twitter and Instagram. And we invite you to rate and review this podcast. And certainly, Reds fans out there or baseball fans in general, spread the word. Tell them this podcast exists. And wherever you're listening, however you're listening, a very heartfelt thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll see you next time here on the Jim Day Podcast.